Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Please help me spread the word about the show. I'd be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, training camps are starting back up, as strange as that sounds for this time of year, for pretty much all four sports. And when you think about training camp or even school sports where students are in that same preparation time for an upcoming season, they're trying out to make the team. And with pro training camps, a lot of times, if you think of NHL or MLB, it's who's going to make the big league roster versus who's going to get sent down. In the NFL, you hear about undrafted free agents, you hear about training camp invitees, and those are guys that pretty much are trying to make the team. The good news is that we don't have to try out to be on God's team. We don't have to try out to be part of His church. No one is going to get cut from that team. In sports, there are leagues, like in MLB, there's the American League and the National League, and the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL, there are conferences and divisions. And those conferences, those divisions all fall under that one common umbrella that is the league. But the teams compete against each other still. Fortunately, with the church, we are not competing. We all have the same goal. And it's not going to be a case of one person gets it and another doesn't, like only one champion in the league for that sport for that season. We might have different divisions. There might be Catholic Church or Presbyterian Church or Methodist Church and so on. But we are all one body. We are all in community with one another under God. And so we are all winners. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played professional football in the mid-1990s, including the NFL, the CFL, and the World League, which became NFL Europe. He had played college football at Bowling Green State University. He is the co-founder of Virtue Baseball and the co-founder of the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Kevin O'Brien.
Hey, Bruce, how are you? Excited to be here.
Thank you. Glad to have you here. We hear a last name like O'Brien on a Catholic show, and right away the assumption is, he must have been an Irish Catholic boy.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and very, I would say ethnic Irish. My dad, coming from Ireland, came over from Ireland at 18, and then my mom's mom and dad were from Pittsburgh. Well, my mom was born in Pittsburgh, but her mom and dad also came over from Ireland. So, yeah, very, very Irish and hardworking. Dad worked. I was born in Detroit. He worked in the city for the big three, you know, Chrysler, Ford, and GM back in the day.
So you grew up in Detroit, and how many of there were you in the family?
So it was I'm the oldest, and then I have a brother who's actually taller and bigger than I am. He's 6'7", and then my sister is probably about 6'1". So kind of a big family. My dad was not 6'2", 6'1", type of guy, and mom was probably 5'7". So it wasn't a huge family, but it must have been in the O'Brien genes because my dad's dad was pretty tall.
So when did you first start playing football? And then as you started developing in the sport, what was your faith journey looking like?
You know, that's it's an excellent question. So when did I first start playing? I started playing in the backyard, right? I think just like a lot of us at that age, I started playing tackle football at seventh grade. And it was just a great experience. I had some wonderful coaches. I call football the game of life. Just because you have those ups and downs and the struggles, and you play when it's cold, you play when it's hot, you're bleeding, you're hot, all of that. So my faith journey, though, you know, one of the things I learned as I reflect back on that is as I always had a connection to Christ. I would kneel down like and say prayers at night by myself. So we weren't a very pious family. We went to mass every week, but we weren't very pious. And so I grew up in the 70s where you didn't really learn the faith. So I couldn't love what I didn't know. So I would say as I got bigger and stronger, my faith life declined. And that was a sad thing, right? I think, you know, as I look back, I wish I would have had that proper formation, because there's so much strength and beauty in our wonderful Catholic faith.
Well, I didn't mention this in the intro, but for the audience's benefit, at Bowling Green State University, Kevin put up a most notable senior year, leading the nation in sacks with 21, which set a school record, and he had more than 35 tackles for loss. He was the defensive MVP, among other awards, and was even nominated for the Bowling Green State University Hall of Fame. So, Kevin, clearly at that point, you had to be thinking NFL for sure. I'm guessing that that was the priority in life for you at the time.
Yeah, you know, I grew up as a skinny kid, right? So a skinny kid coming out of Detroit, I think a lot of us like, oh, my gosh, wouldn't it be wonderful to play in the NFL? So growing up, and then as I got, you know, into college and was, you know, somewhat successful, yet that opportunity started to come up because we as a team were winning a lot. So we had scouts coming in all the time. And, yeah, it was a focus for me. But I played outside linebacker. So I rushed the quarterback a lot. But as a NFL outside linebacker, I didn't cover like receivers and stuff. So I was a tweener, wasn't big enough to be a defensive end and didn't have enough experience to be, quote, a true outside linebacker in the NFL. So I was like, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to give it everything I got. And then whatever happens, happens. I actually was planning. I was taking Japanese at the time. I was planning, if I didn't get picked up by anybody, to do an intern over in Japan.
Wow.
So I had all these other plans ready to go as plan B if the NFL didn't work out.
But nowhere in there did I hear you talking about, yes, I would pray regularly to get drafted into the NFL.
Yeah, great pickup, yeah.
Or I was praying about the second option I had in Japan. So it sounds to me like your career aspirations were going up and maybe your faith life was going down. Do I have that right?
You do, because, you know, the environment that you're in is like this invisible hand that can create the human behavior and your tendencies. And I would say that environment, not that it was bad, it just, it wasn't very faith-driven. And again, I take full ownership to that. Even though that I would go to church once in a while, I didn't fully embrace it because I didn't fully understand it.
Well, there were probably scores of young guys at the time who would have loved to be playing pro football at that point in time. But it was actually quite a whirlwind for you with different teams, different leagues course of 1993 to 1996. Talk about that journey, but also, and I'm referring listeners to the fact that I mentioned in the intro, he played in the NFL, he played in the CFL, he played in the World League, which became NFL Europe. So talk about that journey, Kevin, but also were you thanking God throughout that time, or was it more kind of, Lord, I really am longing for stability with one of these teams, preferably the NFL, or maybe not at all?
Well, no, that's a very good question. So one of the things for me personally, and since we're friends, right, just share it with you. I think when I left college, you know, you're a big fish in a little pond. Well, when you go into the NFL, you become a very small fish in a very big pond from a talent perspective. And I think the biggest thing that, well, first of all, that was like you're alone and literally alone because you're coming into, quote, a family. And if they pick you, that means they have to take somebody else out, right? That's just part of the process. So you weren't liked by a lot of folk, and I was a free agent, so you weren't drafted. And so for me, the number one thing I had to address was fear. And that meant it was a mental struggle, which I would link to a spiritual struggle at the same time. Physically, college was a lot harder. Not that the players were physically stronger, but the way we worked out and all the sprinting and conditioning and all the hitting we did. We didn't do that, at least where I played, when specifically under Marv Levy, wasn't a big fan of that. So he wanted to protect the health of the players, you know, for the games. So for me, it was a mental strain. And what I ended up doing from a faith journey perspective in that time, because now you're alone, you're afraid. So I started to turn to, and there are a lot of great men and people in the NFL, just great. And they're very, I would say I connected more to our Protestant brothers that would create these prayer groups. And I always remember, I always had this connection to Christ. I always would pray. I always had this sense in my heart, even though I didn't fully embrace it. When you're afraid and you need things, well, let me tell you, that's, well, at least for me personally, that's where you go. You go to God. So I started to do that in the journey. So interesting enough, my pro career really brought me closer to Christ because I entered I would call it a crucible of suffering, mental suffering, because of this training. Because wow. You could imagine, you make it. Oh my gosh. Holy cow. I'm here. I did it. I'm playing. I'm second team. We played in the, I remember this game like it was yesterday. And this is the key thing. I was in Germany. We were playing in the American Bowl, playing Minnesota. And I remember coming out of halftime. I'm playing a ton of that game. And I remember looking up. The stadium is full. I don't know, 70,000, 60,000, 70,000 people. It was packed. I don't even know how many they held in Berlin. And I said to myself, now this is a great for all of your listeners out there, hear this. I said to myself, is this it? Mm. I have now arrived on what I thought was my dream, but I didn't have Christ in my heart fully. I was full of fear. And I asked myself this question, is this it? Mm. So I didn't fully embrace, because I was so full of fear of failure, a doubt of can I make it? And I didn't have Christ to really lean on, specifically my Catholic faith, by the way. Even though I was growing there, I wasn't going to Mass. I wasn't entering into the sacrament of confession, which there's tremendous power and strength that comes from that. I didn't have that. So I remember just asking that question. And then, of course, after that, I ended up getting let go to the last cut, which was devastating. I called my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife. She was my girlfriend, now wife, at the time. And I just remember saying to myself, I can't leave like this, because I knew I didn't fully give it my all because I was so afraid, right? Because you're so full of anxiety, just a failure. That's what I mean by it, right?
Yeah.
So then went from there, got picked up and did well by the CFL, Canadian Football League, which was actually interesting enough. That league has been around longer than the NFL. And they had expanded into the U.S. Yeah. I was playing in Sacramento, which was a great experience. And then got dressed. So from that time, because they were playing in the spring. Mm-hmm. Oh, and kind of like that. See, they would go late spring, summer, you know, get into the fall a little bit, and then you're done. Right. So it wasn't as long as the NFL. Mm-hmm. So then did that and then came back. And that's when the NFL Europe was going, or World League at the time. They changed the name. And then I got drafted into that. And then I played for Barcelona Dragons. Funny name. That's like a soccer name, right? No more than an NFL name. And played with under Jack Bicknell. If you remember Cowboy Jack, they called him for Boston. When Doug Flutie threw the Hail Mary, yeah. He was the head coach back then. Had a great experience. First team all world, led the league in sacks there. And again, continuing to inch up. Not dramatic changes in faith life, but inch up, partnering with some of the Protestant guys that would do Bible study. And I didn't even know if there were other Catholics around, to be honest. Mm. And then I actually got real sick the last two games, I got sick. I ended up getting like a salmonella point. I mean, really lost like 15 pounds in a matter of a couple weeks.
Wow.
And yeah, because I was in the hospital. But I came back, played the last game. And still led the league in sacks and ended first team all world, even in that sickness, and then got picked up by the Patriots. So I, even with all that, so had all of that football, because they did play all in the spring, because I would say the NFL Europe was like a triple A team, right? You had a number of NFL players that were young. It was owned by the NFL that they would then funnel them back into the NFL. So it was kind of a great play for younger guys to get more playing time. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and then did the New England thing, which was a great experience playing under Parcells. But I ended up losing all that weight. I ended up tearing my hamstring.
Oh, gosh.
So that's something I never had. But I lost all that weight, tried to put it back on, rolled right back into football camp, and was doing pretty well, actually. Backing up Daryl Talley, if you remember that name. So that's the one of the outside linebackers there. And in general was a great experience. But what it did do is, because of the journey, I was growing in my faith.
Well, but so there you are in August of 1996. You're now retired from football. And not that many years earlier, as a senior at Bowling Green, you probably would have thought that by August 96, you'd be in the prime of an NFL career.
Yeah.
So
right.
For openers, where were you living in August 1996? And what were you like mentally, psychologically at that point?
So where I was. So interesting enough, Bill Parcells said this, and I really took it to heart. He said, okay, all you rookies, and I would throw myself in that rookie, even though I had a couple years in different leagues and stuff. Mm-hmm. All you guys, you got 3 years. You have 3 years to make it in the NFL. And if you don't make it, you better go use the degree you better have and go get a real job. And I thought that was really great advice. I said, okay, that's why that 96, that's why I ended up stopping. I said, okay, I discerned that. I was like, okay, you know, I did give it a good run. I ultimately want to be in the NFL. I am starting to drift now outside of the value of my degree. And I had a dual degree, so I had a very good degree, 2 degrees from Bowling Green. I said, you know, I'm going to retire.
Wow.
So at that point, mentally, I was like, there is a letdown, like, oh. But I also was at a point, there was a piece that I could hang up my shoes.
Okay.
I could say, you know, and put my helmet on and take off the show. I said, you know, I gave it. I played a lot of football in my life. I love the game. It taught me a tremendous amount about life that really, in my, you know, now being 50, can go back and reflect on. As I said earlier, it's the game of life. So now I'm at a spot that I'm ready to let go and really, you know, kind of start the next chapter of my my personal life.
Okay. Well, listeners, we've been blessed to hear a lot of, to use a sports term, comeback stories on this show, victories that have been won as guys and gals have told of finding their way back to the church, finding their way back to the faith, even after challenges like you've been hearing Kevin talking about. And the Holy Spirit is delivering us another opportunity to be inspired by someone's witness here today. But before I ask Kevin to elaborate on that, on last week's episode, I was thanking the latest donor who had contributed to Catholic Sports Radio, and I shared the email that that person wrote back to me after I wrote to express my gratitude and ask if they wanted to be named on the show or kept anonymous. That actually was some nice witness in itself. I encourage you to go back and hear that, not to mention, of course, the guest interview, which, by the way, was Ryan Vermilion. He's currently the head athletic trainer for the Washington Redskins. Anyhow, if you too would like to help support my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, I would be most grateful for your support. Your contribution means so much to me and helps with the expenses that I have in carrying this out. I have detailed many of those expenses on some past episodes, in particular, episodes 53 through 60. There are two ways that you can contribute. Go to CatholicSportsRadio.net and use the Donate to CSR button to contribute securely online in whatever amount you wish. Anything helps. Or if you'd rather not put credit card information online, you have heard me mention that I have gotten support through check or money order by way of U.S. mail. Just email me either through the contact page on the website or directly to Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. And I will get you an address that you can send your check or money order to. This is an unpaid role that I'm in and carrying the load myself, so costs otherwise have to come out of my pocket. But in addition, it also tells me that you believe in and enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and that it's helping you in your faith life. Pray about it and know that I do truly appreciate your support. So, Kevin, continue your story for us. How did you finally come back to the church then, all in, as the saying goes?
Yeah, so in that journey, and again, for those, if there's young listeners, specifically those playing sports, is what happened was really is just an amazing thing. And I wish I would have had, and I'll use this term, higher why. I wish that somebody would have given me a talk about really understanding what is our highest and really higher whys and then the highest why. And my brother was discerning the priesthood at the time, which was somewhat of a shocker, right? In our family, that wasn't pious. And not that, but it was just kind of regular stuff. We were good. They're good people, but not like we didn't pray the rosary and all that. So I remember him and I in my kitchen having a discussion. So now I've left football. I've given that up. I'm in a phase of just leaving football, trying to let that go. And I was at peace with it. Still, there was an angst, but I had the peace, and then trying to find a quota career that could pay my bills and all the other stuff.
Sure.
So we had this debate, and I remember we have this Irish temper, right? We would go back, and it's more yelling matches than a good, calm debate. And at the time, it was my brother said, we got on the topic of abortion, really. And I had thought at that time was, hey, listen, it's not a right you take away, blah, 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 blah. And he hit me with an arrow of truth. He said, Kevin, no one has a right to kill an innocent child. And for whatever reason, that like I took a step back and he goes, you know what your problem is? You need to get back to confession. And I hadn't gone to confession in years. And that shot, and I did, and literally the scales fell off the eyes, and I just embraced it. I just absorbed. I was in sales. I ended up getting a job, and then I was in the sales. I was traveling a ton by myself, so I had tons of time to study, and I just sucked everything up. Read the catechism a number of times, which I love because it really explained. Remember, I couldn't love what I didn't know, so I came to learn it, so I came to love it. And that was something very, very powerful for me. So that was the turning point for me in my career, or my faith journey.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting a little choked up listening to you describe it. That's wonderful. Praise God that someone who was at one point, you know, for all intents and purposes, away from the church, you might as well say, came back so strong that, as I mentioned back in the intro, you went on to co-found the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance. Tell the audience about that.
Yeah. So not only that, so really... we started with, I was in men's ministry, very, very passionate about pro-life, very passionate about adoration. And then, of course, men's ministry. I have a heart for men. I see a lot of men walking around in spiritual rags that they just need to be lifted up. So I got involved in men's ministry when I was out in the Boston area, and then got founded another apostolate called menofchrist.net. And then I was blessed to interact with men all across, leaders all across the country. We here in Milwaukee have one of the largest men's apostolates. Specifically, we run an annual conference, but we got dynamic men's groups, all this stuff that's growing to help men grow in their faith. So they become better men, better husbands, better fathers, better sons. So from that, we also, because of the connections I made, we were able to connect other groups across the country and help co-found the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance, with the goal there being to unite all Catholic men's ministries throughout our country. And listen to this. This is just absolutely amazing. We started it. We had our first summit in June of 2018. We had our second one in 19, of course, down in Texas. Robert Tummeyer, who is a current executive director and president. I'm the vice president of it. And then we had a virtual one now, of course, of COVID. We had, out of 196 dioceses that are in the country here, we had 166 represented. We had 25 countries represented, over 2,500 leaders attended. It was amazing from this little idea. So we are trying to do that, really to build an army of holy leaders for Christ, to go out and spread the good news that Christ has asked us to do, and specific to beauty of our Catholic faith.
Fantastic.
So that's the mission of unity and goodness, and it does bring a lot of hope.
Fantastic. At the start of our conversation, I also said that you're also the co-founder of Virtue Baseball. What is that?
So, yeah, and that has kind of grown into Virtue Sports. So this idea, which links into sports, right, the beauty of sport, where we want to create or use sport as a vehicle to build virtue, to build character in our boys. That's how we're starting. And then we'll bolt on the girls as well. But specifically, our boys is how we're starting. So what we did is we took this little idea of, like, let's bring together dads, of course, families. But we have five key things. The first three are the most important. Honor God. Two, build friendship, right? So by coming together, we've created this environment that really allows us to build friendship. Three, strive for excellence. So it's not like, even though it's a rec club, we want to be the best baseball club in Wisconsin, and at some point, maybe even in the country. We want to make it that great. Honor God, build friendship, strive for excellence. And then four and five is specifically within the Catholic group. A lot of us have got big families, so we want to have cost and then convenience. But the three are the biggest. And what that does is we create this environment where we're using sport to build that character in the boys. We start with prayer every practice. We end practice with every prayer.
Love it.
In every game, by the way, with prayer. And then every Saturday we have a talk given by one of the fathers on a virtue. And then the son has got to bolt on with the father. We just added this year, where he then explains how he's using that virtue in his life.
Wow.
So again, you're seeing how that integration.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? Picture this. You have now the families are enjoying coming together. Oh, yeah, we got the baseball game. You know, summertime, let's come together. We're going to have a little cookout. The kids are playing in the playground. The dads are coaching baseball. The moms are hanging out talking together. And now what are we doing? we're building a wonderful culture
and how
to bring goodness. It's another way for us to really outreach to the good.
And I'm glad that you mentioned outside of just the men or even the boys, because you have done a lot of work with Catholic men over the years, but the experiences that these guys have had helps their marriages. And so the wives actually benefit. Yes.
So interesting enough, it's a great question, by the way. The first, when we started at Men of Christ, the first call that I got was from a woman, a wife, a mother. And she literally, this was fun. I'll never forget it. I've gotten thousands of calls. I've never forget this one. And it was a voicemail. She said, "Hey, I've been waiting for 20 years for you guys to do something. Call me and let me know what I can do." So here's the thing that we find, or at least that I have found. Good women want this. They want men to lead. They want to feel secure that way. And they know their men need this. We actually, the first conference that we had put on, we were getting emails. We were getting calls. Please, please let my son, my father or my husband go. Mm. He needs this. They know that we need it. But yeah.
Beautiful. Yep. Beautiful. Speaking of wives, I do want you to be able to mention your long marriage and the children that the two of you have.
Yeah, I'm blessed. I have a wonderful wife that I met at Bowling Green. We played. She ran track. I played football, of course. And then we've been married now 21 years. Mm. 21 years. We've been together 28 years, though, because we offer engagement and dating and my travel all over. But so together, 28, married 21, have 7 children, 5 boys, 2 girls. So my oldest plays college football for Ave Maria. My daughter, who's now going to be going and run track for Notre Dame. And then I've got another daughter and then 4 young boys. So the rest of them are in high school and then grade school.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Kevin, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for sharing some wonderful, wonderful testimony with the audience. And God bless you and your family. And thank you for all the work that you're doing in God's name.
Bruce, thank you. And by the way, I'm going to be one of your donors. So expect a donation because I love what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. And listeners, since we have a athlete on the line, I thought it would be appropriate if on this episode we close with a post-game prayer, it's called. We haven't done this one in a while. We'll do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the chance to compete and use our talents through sports. Remind us that we are called to give our best and to finish the race while caring for others along the way. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.